Has anybody ever wanted someone's attention and they were distracted and didn't give you full attention? Yeah? What are some things that distract us? Noise? Kids? Yeah. Cell phones? Loud music, work, people, yeah. You know, they used to in those old shows, you know, when you'd watch about, it seemed like the big thing for husbands and wives is a man reading the newspaper and not giving her full attention, and she'd say something. So I'll tell y'all what I really did one time to Steve Van Zandt. He was not paying attention to me. He was watching sports. And I came in, and I was like, honey, and it was something, you know, important about the kids. And he just would not listen. I said, Steve, I want you to know I went out and did cocaine today. He's like, mm-hmm. I said, and then after I did that, I went out and I sold drugs on the corner. He's like, well, okay. And I'm like, so is there anything you want to add to it? And he goes, I don't know. I heard cocaine, but that was about it. So, you know, sometimes in a conversation, if, you know, somebody's not listening, just throw something in there every now and then to shake them up. But really what is happening tonight with Forerunners that I really want to talk about and hit on is that we have to stay focused on Jesus. We've got to stay focused on what God wants us to share. So doing this, I'm calling this being unplugging, because sometimes we just have to unplug from the kids. You know, there was a time where I said, guys, you need to go to your rooms for about 20 minutes. I need to unwind between work and getting started in this house. I'm going to my room for 20 minutes. I just don't want to hear anything. I just need to change hats. And you want to give me that 20 minutes. And, you know, so sometimes you just have to let them know there's just things that, because that's okay, because the world is going to have to require the same things from you, right? So sometimes we need to unplug. But let's look at our text tonight. I've got for you, it's John 5:35, and this is from the New King James. It says, this is Jesus talking about John the Baptist, who was a forerunner. And we've already talked about that. He was the forerunner that came, that was prophesied in Isaiah. And he said, he was a burning and a shining lamp. Well, I've got some blanks there because, first of all, the fact that he was burning talks about his heart. He had a red-hot, burning passion to share the things of God. And it was a shining lamp because when you shine, that's your ministry. When you shine, we're shining the light of God. That means I'm sharing something about him. So in this, he says, you were willing for a time to rejoice in this light. And what's really happening here, not only is Jesus talking about John the Baptist, but he's letting him know he was boldly proclaiming that I'm coming, and you wanted to dance for a while. You enjoyed the good stuff, but you didn't want to be responsible later when it came to meeting me and knowing me. So a forerunner. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, we see where the word says that there's going to be one coming from the wilderness, crying in the wilderness. We know from 1 John 1:23, there's another time when it's fulfilled, is that, hey, this is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John himself says, John the Baptist, I'm fulfilling what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. But I think it's interesting because we have to realize that we're going to be tried by this word, this world. It's going to try to get us to put our focus on things that we see and not walk by faith. And what's happening right now for us who should be forerunners telling the good news of Jesus Christ and that we believe and, hey, we've got a good message. This is good news. We've got some good things to share with you. We find that people now are wanting from the world, they're wanting acceptance. They're wanting accolades. They're wanting to be acknowledged. They want somebody to notice them. They want acceptance. I didn't mean to do everything in A. It just came out that way, but that's the things they're looking for from the world. I want their approval. There's another A. I want to know that they're the ones, whatever's going on, everybody's jumping on a hashtag, you know. Let me get on that. Now, I will just say, I think some things that people get on in our culture is because we're so different than when we were in another generation. And I think it's really sad about the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. I really, whether you like the song or not, you know, there's a controversy that this song is about date rape. Because he's giving her a drink, she's saying no, no, no. Well, I just want you to know, for anybody who's listening, they should go back and research the year this song was written and what that meant. Because now we don't know about wooing and, you know, somebody flirting or just enjoying the company of somebody and those little flirtations and whatever. And it wasn't about just, are we going to have sex tonight or not? It was about enjoying, and there was kind of a little romance, the little dance that people did. Oh, you know, come on, let's, you know, the big kiss, you know, your lips look delicious and all that stuff. I told Steve the only thing I could find in the whole song, we were listening to it the other day, and I said, the only thing I can find wrong in that song, if I wanted to be offended, was she said, just a cigarette more. So I guess I could say, you're promoting cancer, you know, but I wouldn't dare post it or somebody would get on the case of it, you know. But see, here's what I'm saying. People want acceptance so bad that they're willing to look for anything negative to get approval. It seems like if you can point out something negative, that's when you get the attention. Well, here's the thing. That's how things look outward. He wants us to be concerned about how things are inward. And inward, what should be in us that will come out of us when we go through trials certainly should be his word. I should know his word. But you know, I found that there are some believers who know his word and they use it to judge and be critical. And my job is not to judge and be critical. My job is try to draw people with the character of God in the word, not just using the word as a weapon to find offense, because Christians have done that forever too. I'm saying let's wise up and be forerunners with some good news about who he is and what he's doing. And just by the way, you know, I mentioned, you know, just a cigarette more. I just want to tell you, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that smoking a cigarette's a sin. But I sat by my dad who smoked and had to go through plaque being pulled out of his veins so that he didn't lose his foot from smoking. So while I don't have anything, I just want you to hear me. There's just a lot of things that aren't going to be good for us. But you know what? I want to tell you this. Neither's chocolate. And thank God I'm getting further the road from it. But do you hear what I'm saying? Time's too short to pick out the thing that you think's wrong with other people. Because I got to keep me clean. So the inward focus would, yes, be on God's word. Because God's word's trying to protect me from something that's going to hurt me, that's going to cause me harm or another person harm. There's nobody in here that your actions won't be just for you. You're going to affect someone else. I thought it was so interesting. Lauren had posted and Steve showed it to me on Facebook when Jerry got baptized Sunday. And these people were like, I'm amazed. I couldn't believe it. You know, but guess what? It can happen. We can change. Amen? And determined to change. So thrilled with joy and the peace of God that you don't want to return. But people don't always get that. So guys, that's what this is leading us into. It's not where I've been. You shouldn't have to go back and check what I did when I was 14, 15, or 16 to hold against me now, because God's word says you need to put your hands to the plow and don't look back. If I've been forgiven and he doesn't remember it, why should I be bringing up another person's sin? Okay? So I just want to put that out, because what's happened today is we have plugged into our culture by news media, by social media, by cell phone memes, by conversation with people who've bought into needing acceptance. We've plugged into this, and so now our outward has affected our inward, and many believers are becoming quieter and quieter because they don't want any conflict. They want acceptance. And there are people who aren't believers, and because they're not believers, they want applause. They want to know, not only am I accepted, but somebody recognizes my value. And here's the problem. We're losing focus on Jesus and on God when we can't remember his word, his character, and certainly his character tells us that he is life-giving, not life-taking. He gives us love unconditionally. So, are you going to go out of here and say, well, you know, Gay said it's okay to do whatever you want because God's going to forgive you? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, please hear me. The problem is that no longer are we looking to the things of God. We've gotten just enough education that we think we're smarter than God, most people. We think we've got just enough money that we don't need God, most people. And people who are sincere with him, it's never going to matter to you how much money you have. It's never going to matter to you your degrees or your education. What matters to you is that he knows that you love him and he loves you, and you're just trying to do right by the rest of the world because his word says to put others first before ourselves. So I found two interesting things, though. Let's talk about the wilderness for a little. Unplugging, first of all, means to get free from the tentacles of the culture. It's a separation from being fueled or powered by an outside source of energy. So, how many of you know that you get in a room with relatives? Let's just bring it home. And you're in a room with relatives, and it's like Christmas, and all of a sudden somebody walks in that you hadn't seen in a while who got a little snotty with somebody, you know, a couple of years before, and then all of a sudden, well, who do they think? And boy, before you know it, we can just start dissecting a person, right? Well, that's because that is an energy source. Gossip is a source that feeds. So is hatred, so is criticism, so is love, so is peace, so is joy. So I want us to look at the sources of things that are leading us into the culture and things that are leading us to stay focused on being forerunners, bringing the good news of Jesus. Why is the wilderness important? Well, let's ask ourselves. First of all, what is the wilderness? The wilderness is an uninhabited place. The actual definition from the Greek lexicon says that it's a place that can be a pasture, like the sheep. You send them out in the wilderness to go graze because there's uninhabited places, so there's plenty for them to eat. So a wilderness isn't always a place that's bad. A wilderness can just be a place where man hadn't been. Now, for a believer, that's a pretty good place. Because if I'm going to the wilderness, I'm not going to have to listen to other people's opinions. There's going to be plenty for me to eat. And it's going to be a place where I can hear God, like you said earlier, without the noise, without the kids, without the cell phones, without the distractions of this world. So why do we go to the wilderness? Because I see that the Bible says that John the Baptist, you know, we just read from Isaiah, one coming from the wilderness. Then we read in 1 John 1:23 where he says, I am the one crying out from the wilderness. And you know, Steve just taught a couple of weeks ago about him being in the wilderness, dressed with very little on, eating, you know, bugs and honey, wild locusts and honey. So you look at that, but guess what? If he wasn't answering to anyone else, do you think he had distress over the situations in the news? No. He was hearing from God, and that was his place. He was being taken care of, but he was spending his time with God. So then I go and I look at Matthew 4:1 that says that Jesus was led into the wilderness. And it says that the Spirit is what led him to the wilderness. So I'm thinking, here's our forerunners, other than Moses, other than Isaiah and the prophets. Here's our forerunners in the New Testament. Here's John the Baptist and Jesus, who's the forerunner who told us about heaven and what he's preparing. And now I see where he's led by the Spirit to the wilderness. So why then is the wilderness so important? because it's not always a bad thing. 294 times in the Bible, it talks about the wilderness. And the wilderness can be good or it can be bad. But you know what I found? Every time it's for someone who's not serving God, the wilderness is bad. And every time it's for someone who does serve God, it's good. Now, do I like the wilderness? No. Am I thrilled about going to the wilderness? No. But I want to tell you, mercy leads me to the wilderness because sometimes I need to get unplugged from everything else that's going on and get alone with Him and not have everybody's opinion and not be really seduced by food or anything that would, you know, movies. Even if I'm at home and nobody's around, there's the temptation, oh, you know what, I'm just going to pop some popcorn and watch a movie, right? But like when, you know, Annette's dad was in the hospital, and when we were praying Sunday for Keith Hildebrandt, who's got this report of cancer in his body. And by the way, they're going to MD Anderson. They have an appointment for next Monday. Amazing he got in there like that and not being run all over the Metroplex. That's a blessing. The doctors believe the cancer's contained behind a lung, but it had gotten so big, the mass, it had broken some of his ribs, and that's why he noticed as a plumber he couldn't work. So I'm burdened with these things that are happening, and so I'm not thinking about go home and watch a movie and unplug that way, because I'm plugging back into something. Are you with me? Because let me be clear, movies are nothing more than another person's idea of how life should be. Okay? So we pick up those things and we take on those things and their idea of how a marriage should work or a relationship should work. And guys, we can, before you know it, we're in agreement with things that aren't in the Bible and aren't okay with God for our lives. So I'm burdened for these things. So it causes me to go to the wilderness. It causes me to pull. I am led by the Spirit of God to a place where I don't hear anything. I just lay myself over the bed and just weep. And I just want to say, I don't think this would embarrass Chuck or Annette or John, her brother, but when they pulled the tube from her father yesterday, I just want to tell you guys, it was the most beautiful passing I believe I've ever seen. And John was holding his dad's hand, and Annette gets out the frankincense oil, and she is anointing her father's feet. And that fragrance filled the room. And she's just, praise you, oh God. God, we thank you. And John's just like, Daddy, we're good. Daddy, you go on. Daddy, let God, you know, just, the beauty in the room was incredible. Why? Because they've been in the wilderness and they weren't focused on themselves, but on God. Okay? So when I came home, I was, you know, just, I don't know. I was just so, had so much going on, and I just laid myself across the bed and I just began to cry, not out of sorrow, but out of beauty. Because there's a beauty, guys, and Annette made this statement that I think is so important. She said, you know, when you're born, we shouldn't call it your birthday. We should call it Earth Day. And when you die, we should call that your birthday. And I was like, yes, because we get it so wrong. And that was the beauty of it. So when I go to the wilderness, I shouldn't feel like I'm being punished. I should recognize that as a forerunner, I've got to stay focused on Jesus. And will anybody else in here raise your hand and get honest with me and say, sometimes I don't seek God unless I'm in the wilderness? I just get caught up in so many things. And it may not even be something evil. Are you with me? I can get so caught up in what I need to do, you know, in work or, you know, just taking care of things. And Steve called me in his office yesterday, and I guess it was Monday, and we were going through some things, and he said, I don't mean this in a braggy way, I just mean for you to see what I'm saying, but we can get caught up in things. And he said, I've got some points. And he said, I'm going to cash these in for gift cards, and I want to get you gift cards. So I want you to tell me what you want. But you cannot spend it on anybody but yourself. And I was like, okay. okay, you know, so I'm excited. I'm going to give me some gift cards. So he's like, what do you want? So I was like, well, you know, do they have Ross? Do they have Marshalls? Do they have TJ? Yeah, they got TJ Maxx. Like, okay. So we get in there and we're doing it. And I said, oh, I said, there's Nordstrom. I said, Charity needs some waterproof boots. And they've got their UGG boots on sale. And if you could get enough money, we could get her a pair of boots. And he went, what did I just tell you? And I was like, but honey, she needs, that's a need. That I don't want her cold, you know, wearing them cheap boots and whatever. And I know those are going to last for years, really. And he's like, well, whatever, you know. So we're getting in there. And that's what I want you to see. It's not always evil that you get caught up in, but you just get caught up in stuff. And so I thought today, you know, I'm just going to stay home where I'm not up here getting, I just want to stay focused on the word. You with me? Because I'm the one who can get trapped up. And it doesn't even have to be evil. So when you're thinking about this, I don't want you to think that we stay focused if we're not in sin. We can just not be focused as a forerunner sharing the good news of the Lord, just going through the motions of life and forgetting about that we need to be telling people about Jesus. Why? Not to be critical, but why are we letting the voices of other people be the voice that's last heard? I don't need their acceptance. I don't need their approval. But we get so caught up in that that we forget who we are and what God wants for us. So that word tempted, remember, tempted, that's not always bad. Because tempted can mean, it can mean something that proves what's inside. That can either be bad, something I need to be aware of, you know. Like, dear Lord Jesus, is there ever a month where there's not a Russell Stover marshmallow milk chocolate covered something? You get rid of, you know, have Valentine's Day. Then they get Easter. Thank God they hadn't come out to July the 4th star yet. You know, and then by the time Thanksgiving comes, you're like, wow, yeah. And Christmas, and it starts all over. And that may be simple to you, but do you understand that that temptation is showing something in me? So I can learn to get over it. That can be a good thing. Or something that tests me to show me, where's my love? Because I want to tell you, when I watch those people hurt like that, and I go home and I'm hurting for them, to me, that's God showing me, you're at the right place. This is where your life should be. What have I told you over and over on Wednesday nights? If you take care of God's business, He'll take care of yours. And I need to stay in that place. So as a forerunner who's letting people know, hey, guys, it's not a game. God is real. Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, He's going to be wanting to take you out of this world. And He's going to be wanting to take you because there's a millennium coming. Does that ring a bell with anybody about who this generation is? What do they call them? Millenniums. And I think it's so interesting because that is the phrase that's in the Bible, and yet this is the ones being called it. So I'm not going to get into that tonight. But He is saying that what happens was there were the three generations. There's three supernatural generations. This is on your notes. First, there was a generation of Moses when God established the old covenant. The second was the generation of the apostles when God establishes a new covenant. And now there's our generation, the generation when the Lord returns to establish the millennium. Okay? So, you know, hey, you know, we know this is coming. But, you know, we don't find in a book or anywhere because the word says you're not going to know the time. But what it does say is you're going to know by these signs. Now, there's people out there who's trying to say everything's been fulfilled. How do I know that? I don't know that. Okay? Why? Because I don't know that everything's recorded. Right? Because somebody could have been sleeping that day when God was wanting to put it in the word. I don't know. But what I do know is this, most of the things that He's talked about, we can say we've seen fulfilled. You know, when the moon turns to blood, how many times have I watched a blood moon? You know, especially lately. And I just love watching the Jewish people because they always tie special events to those things that God said it's special. So when we have these things, I need to know my generation because I'm still contending for the return of Jesus. I still should be a forerunner telling there's good news. The good news is God is not out to devour you for your sin. God is looking to overcome the sin that's in this world and save you from the torment and the torture of living a double life, okay? But the problem is, guys, that we're living in a society, a people, and a community, and a culture that denies that there's even a God. Even when my kids were little in the 80s, we knew people in our neighborhood in California that had never been to a church except for a funeral or a wedding and didn't even know who Jesus was except a swear word. That was in the 80s. So now their children who are unchurched except a means to an end to get into Harvard or Yale if you go to a certain, you know, big Catholic churches or whatever. You know, if it's a checkoff list for the Montessori, you know, whatever, you learn that kind of thing. But they don't understand. So those kids are now in their 30s having kids that are now teenagers or close to it. You with me? So now I've got a second removed generation. So where some people might have heard grandma, you used to hear that on sports. My mama, she taught me, my mama. Now you're hearing my grandma. Just pay attention to these things. You're not hearing it given credit much. So what else could I expect from a godless culture, a godless generation, if they don't have the standard of this word to show how we should be living? Why would I expect anything different than for them to go on their education, their money, and their influences to what they know and watching other cultures and taking a little bit of this religion and a little bit of this one and a little bit of that one? And the truth is, prove me wrong, I'm good with it. Any other religion that has anything good to say is in this book. Any new teaching from the Dalai Lama or any of those people who are so, it's in this book, right? I've seen it, and I'm just like, really? People are buying into that? It's in the book. Even our scientists and things, these millions of dollars to prove something, it's in the book, right? But because they're godless, because they're removed from this, they don't have a standard to cling to like you and I do. So they're subjected to the majority. Why? Because they're still looking for acceptance. They're still looking for affirmation. They're still looking for approval. And they're still looking for applause. There's nobody in here, be honest, who doesn't want somebody to applaud you and recognize you for doing something good. I can tell you this. Use it, Anna. Use it. When my kids were little, I tried not to yell at them ever, but what I did try to do was always find the good thing they did and tell them how good it was, because you would find that they'll do that more often because they just want you to tell them how great they are. And when kids were little babies, I just go, "Ooh, that's so good." Ooh! And their little faces, they just beam, because there's something about approval and praise, yeah, that brings on joy. When we give praise to the Lord, that's so joyful. I'm telling you, isn't there anything more joyful than being in a service when you're just like singing those songs that are like 15 beats a second and you're just so enthralled with who God is and so happy to love Him? You know what I'm saying? So yes, there's something to that, but because the world doesn't have it, they're going to the other side. For the music, for the approval. And I thought it was interesting talking about that song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. Steve sent me a thing that said, he was talking about how come we don't go to all the rap songs that literally talk about rape? How come we're picking on that? And what was the other one? How come there's 125 million copies of, yeah, 50 Shades of Grey, but But yeah, but you're going to pick on baby, it's cold outside. You know, that's going to be the, yeah. So these are things that, you know, my mind can't get around. But guys, let's be merciful. Don't condone it, but be merciful, because if they don't have a standard of God, right, then there is nothing to say this is wrong. And why is it wrong? Let me just show you how, which plug do I pull? Yeah. Here's the thing. We're fueling, we talked about this, we talked about the things that are fueling us. That's why we need to unplug from the things that bring energy, like the social media and the whatever and the, you know. Do you remember when 9/11 happened? Anybody? Can you still vividly close your eyes and see that plane entering that building? Well, I want to tell you, I watched that once and I watched it twice. And the third time I watched it, I was so that I just turned it off. I was like, that cannot be good. So when the kids came in, I just said, guys, I want to tell you what's happened, but I don't want you to look at it. I'm just going to tell you what happened. Of course, then my niece was in the building, and, you know, we got all these details and things, and I didn't tell my kids. And then that afternoon, they quit showing it because psychologists were saying that is like physically hitting the brain. It's more than we can take. It's an assault. It's going to take the people who are watching it are in just as much shock. You're putting that out, and they proved it. So here's the thing. There's so much going on that people are seeing that is literally like a shock to their brains. And here's the thing that I found. When I don't know, when I'm just subjected to what a majority believes or who you think is the smartest person, and you're just like, wow, you know, oh, all these movie stars, they love the Dalai Lama. Wow, I'm just going to read this because, you know, man, that one saying was so good I saw on Pinterest. Man, when I see that stuff on Pinterest, I'm like, hide this pen. I don't want to see this stuff. I don't care what Buddha has to say. Buddha just copyright. He should have been giving Jesus some money for that, you know, stealing his stuff. I'm just telling you, unplug yourself from this stuff, because what happens, what they're being fueled by is rage. They're being fueled by an unbridled passion, because remember we talked about John, the burning, shining light. The burning, that passion to do something for Jesus. They've got a burning and a passion to prove injustice. How's anything ever going to be justified in this world? The blood of Jesus. And yes, when God's in the court system, you'll have justice because there's a standard. You're never going to legislate morality, because if nobody's moral, that's going to change. Look at how the laws have already changed on what is pornographic. Look at how the laws have already changed on movie ratings and what's okay for certain age groups. Because it's always going to be subjective to who's ever in charge if there's no standard of God. And this is the thing that's fueling our society: unforgiveness. Go back and find out what they did. He got the Heisman Trophy. Go back. Let's find out what he did when he was, you know, 14 and 15 years old. God, could you stand up to the standard of what you did when you were 14 or 15? I'm still stupid in a lot of stuff. I may be innocent, but I don't understand a lot of things, and I say a lot of things. And Lord, with talk texting, I've even used some bad words I didn't know. You know, I'm like, because I'm Southern, I'm like, well, that sure is funny. And then you look at it, and you're like, I didn't say that. You're deleting, right? Okay. But there's no unforgiveness. I mean, there is only unforgiveness, because they're fueled. This culture is fueled by rage, unbridled passions, unforgiveness, and pure hatred. But if you have this standard, you know that I need to forgive those people for what they did. I know that my passion as a forerunner for Jesus, I've got to stay passionate about the things that are he's passionate about. He wants me to go to people who are lost and say to them, I don't have to preach the gospel. I don't have to tell them how bad they are. But I'm telling you this, you and I can do this. I can go to somebody that's in a mess and say, listen, there is a better way than this torment. There is a better way. You are in such a frenzy that can't be good for your heart. I'm serious. Even science has backed that up. Oh, stress, stress, stress. Don't you know where you can lay that? Don't you know where? No, they don't. They don't. Because as forerunners, we are unfocused on what we should be doing because we've let the culture dictate us. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not easy. You ever been hurt by people in culture? You ever been hurt by people who don't know who God is? They can be vicious, and it can hurt. And if you meant well, they'll still come at you. But the thing that gets me about culture is, but they don't know. Please hear me. We've got to recognize they don't have the standard you and I have. But here's the thing that kills me. Well, you sin. What does that have to do with anything? I know what to do with my sin, okay? But my, whether I sin or I don't, isn't going to condone you or me or get either one of us into heaven. The thing that's going to get us where we need to go is recognizing that everything we do needs to be coming from a heart of love, because love never fails and love is unconditional. But people want to get you caught up. We've got to stay focused, forerunners. I've got to unplug myself from the hate. I have to unplug my mind from unforgiveness. I've got to unplug myself from this unbridled passion, because they don't have a purpose that has value unless they're getting likes and hits and approval and they get on the news or YouTube goes viral. Forerunners, we have to stay focused on what God is saying to us. Well, you know, what about love? Is it enough? Is love enough? I want to tell you, love is enough if you can stand your ground and not grow weary. Love will be enough. Love won't fail. I'm calling back today the culture. I'm calling back today the community by praying and saying, God, draw them back to love unconditional. And how will they know it unless it's Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you, even the other religions have some things in there that you got to do that are against God, that are what you have to do to be approved. Man, wouldn't it be easy if we can just laugh about our mistakes and teach and tell and make it a testimony instead of afraid anybody's going to find out because they're going to put it on social media and I'm going to look bad? We got to stay focused as forerunners. But sadly, some people have to go through the wilderness before they'll do it. So it's not just going to be modification, you know, of behavior. It's not just going to be, going to church every Sunday. Because I got to implement what I'm learning. I'm plugging into something, and I need to unplug from something else. That's why I think this, to me, maybe I'm the only one, but there are times when I feel like in this world, I'm in a wilderness. I don't know where I am. It's a good place to be. Because it's going to show me what's in me. It's going to let me know that I can go through this. It's going to let me know quicker that I can't do this, which will make me more reliant on Him. If I'm in the comfort zone and I got everything figured out and I got my 8 to 5 and I got that figured out and I got how this schedule needs to work and this rotation needs to work, I can get so quickly on automatic pilot, I don't need God at all. I need to need Him. And guess what? Out of mercy, He lets me see how much I need Him. So I'll cry out and get the help I really need and get that pressure off of me to keep all the plates spinning. It's not about me. That's what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me this world is not about you, Gay. This world is about me and you representing me. I'm taking care of you. I'm giving you a better home than you could ever have. I'm going to provide your food. I'm going to provide lodging for you. I'm going to provide my seed is never going to be begging for bread. Gay, I'm going to take care of these things. Just don't you tell me what the standard needs to be. So, man, yeah. Then I get in there with Him, and I realize it's hard, but is it rewarding? Yes. It's harder to be silent when people are critical. But it's so much better when you can go home and just pray for them till you get your bitterness and anger out, the things that are fueling against God, and just come to grips with it. And either one, just let it go, or two, go back and speak up. And by speak up, I mean you're trying to bring peace. There are people you're never going to bring peace to. But I'm telling you, you can pray and God will take them to the wilderness and they'll realize what they can and cannot do. And that's who I'm praying for. I'm praying for these movie stars. When I see this stuff people say that is just the most foolish, vile stuff, start praying for them. God, right now, I just want you to intervene. Lord, please love on Barbara Streisand's heart. God, please, whatever it is that she learned as a Jewish child, those teachings of you, God, please bring that back where she can walk in forgiveness, where she'll speak life so that when she has a platform, God, please let that. God, speak to her. Draw that back. Even, Lord, if it's this time of Hanukkah and the miracles that you've done, draw it into them. I'm telling you guys, I'm being serious with you. Let's start praying for people instead of hating on them. You know why? Because we're still called to be kings and priests. And what does a priest do? You should know it by now. A priest represents God to the people, and then he represents the people to God. So I'm not always a forerunner, but I am called to be a priest. Not to hear their sins and bless them and approve them, but I'm just called to tell you who God is, and then I'm called to go before God for you and say, God, they're in need. Whether they're a Christian, whether they're not, everybody gets in need because we live in this earth. But the thing I want to leave you tonight is this. Faith is not about everything turning out as my idea of okay. Faith is being okay no matter how things turn out. That's what faith is. Everybody else wants you to go by what you see and react to it quickly. If you don't react quickly and get fired up with us, then we don't like you anymore. Well, I'm sorry. I really am that people may not like me. But I want to tell you, if I go home and God corrects me on that, I'm going to listen to him and apologize. But if God does not correct me on things, I'm going to go before him and I'll say, okay, you and I have peace. Now, what's my job? Am I a forerunner here tonight, or am I a priest with you, God? Because he does tell us to know our place and that he will speak to us and he will lead us. So don't resent the wilderness. But tonight, for everybody in this room, Michael, you want to help me out? I've got this little box of, it's called Emergency, and it's 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. And I'm going to give this to you tonight. Do you know why? Because there's an emergency in our culture. There's where the emergency is. But the emergency can be answered with Christ. And I want you to know, people are taking vitamin C and telling you what all it'll do, and it will, because it's natural, it's from God. But I want to tell you, the emergency we got is in our culture, and the answer is Christ. And I'm asking you tonight to stay focused. Now, I'll just take it one step further, and I can be cheesy, and that's okay with me. But you know what? You got to get that, what's in that envelope, and you're going to have to put it in water. And you need to stir it up before you take it. And I want to tell you, the water of the Spirit, when you have the Word and the water, and you've got a wilderness, and you stir, that stirs up the Word in you, you're looking for the Spirit to lead you, it's not dry, it's not diluted. It's just what you need, the way you need, without you choking on it. So tonight, I want you to walk in and recognize we got an emergency going on, but we got the answer. I want you to be confident of this. Don't be mad at people when you see them caught up with rage. It's fueling them, guys. We've got to pray for this nation. We got to pray against that rage. If they don't know unconditional love, how can the fire ever go out? If they don't know that there's hope, if they don't know the standard, if we're not telling them there's a better way, I'm not criticizing you, I'm just telling you there's a better way. Right? Why would you cook something on a stove and stay up all night making sure it's got water in it when you can stick it in a crock pot? Let me give you the better way. You with me? So tonight, I just want to encourage you. don't worry about the wilderness. If you're in a wilderness, God's going to feed you. He's going to lead you, and he's going to show you the things to heed to. You with me? Let's just trust him. Amen. Stand with me. Father, tonight we just thank you for your word, God. I'm asking tonight, Lord, that we'd be reminded, God. We see the emergency, but I'm not afraid of it, God, because you're bigger. God, the ruler of this world, God, may be the enemy, but the enemy is under your feet. And I just want to thank you tonight, God, that there's going to be a day when that lease is going back into your name and out of his. I want to ask, God, that you would just move by your spirit and help people. God, those kids that look so full of hate, may we just keep loving on them till we see a little bit of joy, till we see some hope in them, God, that we can impart just a little bit of love, God. Lord, let us be vessels of love in this world that's filled with hatred, condemnation. Move me, God. Lord, tonight in this room, let us be Isaiah 60 people. Let us be the ones where the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to set the captives free. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he wants the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because where I go without a word, the captives and the prisons will open up because you're in me, God. We ask you for that help tonight, Lord. Let us be yours, your people. Let your love come over Annette tonight, God and John. Let your love cover Keith and Darla tonight, God. Let your love cover the ones, God, who've got a new hashtag tomorrow filled with hate. Help them tonight, God. God, help. Help every journalist, God, who's got an agenda filled, God, with rage. Help them tonight, God, to find you. Help us tonight, God, to love those, God, who look unlovable. Help us, God, to find that there's benefits in the wilderness, not be mad at you, but just ask you to get us through it as Jesus did with the word to combat the enemy. Help me, God, as John did, not to look at the faces of the accusers, but to look at the face of Jesus and keep going. God, tonight we give you all the praise and all the honor and the glory in this house, God, that the children in this church will be saved. God, that they can't get to evil and evil can't get to them, Lord. We thank you tonight, God, that in these hallways, God, are being raised up children, oh God, who know you, that will know the difference, God, between what's fueling them, God. We speak life right now over our city, our state, and our nation in this world, God. Let your love, God, let your love flow, because your love never fails. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. I want you to be confident. You're the right people for this job. You're the right parents. You're the right employees. You're the right people to love on your family. You're the right people. Be encouraged. Amen.